All right, we're studying God now, going through the doctrines of the Bible, and we're studying God. So we've seen that He's omniscient, He's omnipotent, omnipresent, He's immutable or unchanging. Let's go ahead and just touch on that real quick. Go to Matthew chapter 3, verse, Malachi. It's the book right before Matthew. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. God is immutable or unchanging. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." He says, "I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." So God says, "I am Jehovah, I am the Lord, and I change not." He doesn't change. That means what He is, He always will be. That's God's character. He's a God of love. And God is love. We're going to look at that and see that. But again, we need to understand, we need to define that love biblically. Okay, because when I hear the average person say, "Oh, God is love," I'm like, okay, I don't think we're on the same same wavelength here. I think you mean something else that's unbiblical. Amen. If we'll define it biblically, then I'm all with you. God is love, because the Bible says God is love. But we have to let Him define what He means by that and what love is. He gave us a whole chapter to define it too. It's amazing, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But really, everything you see in the Bible is God. He doesn't change. What He is in the Old Testament, He is in the New Testament. Right. So He says right here, "I am the Lord." It's all capital L-O-R-D. That means Jehovah, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Now, let's go ahead and look at... let me see if I can find it. It's Hebrews 13. So remember, God said in Malachi, "I am the Lord, I change not." He says, "I'm Jehovah, I change not." Hebrews 13, verse 8 says, "Jesus Christ," look at this, "He's the same yesterday and today and forever." So if He's the same, does that mean He doesn't change? Amen. So He changes not? Amen. So what is that saying when we compare Scripture with Scripture? Malachi says, "I am the Lord, I am Jehovah, I change not." Hebrews, it says of Jesus that He is the same yesterday and today and forever. So Jesus is unchanging. So what is that saying? This is important. We need to get this stuff. This stuff will help us. This will help you fight the cults. That's right. That's exactly what it's saying. It's saying that Jesus is God. I hope everyone sees that and understands that. Because you will need stuff like that. You're going to need to know that stuff in order to combat cults. The Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, all teach that Jesus is not God. And they're prevalent out here where we live. They are prevalent. And you need to be able to show them, look, it says over here that Jehovah doesn't change. Amen. Well, it says the same thing about Jesus Christ. You can't say that about any other human, because we all change. We change our opinions about things. You know, we make decisions based on emotion. God does not. God makes decisions based on His character, based on who He is, on His, I lost the word for it. It's one of the, I need another hour of sleep is what it is, okay? That's right. I forgot Miss Robin's name earlier. Just standing in the foyer, I could not remember her name, so I don't know. All right. Yeah, I had coffee too. It didn't even help, man. I'm telling you. All right, but anyway, God is unchanging. Jesus Christ is unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when somebody wants to say, and usually it's the atheists, they say, "Oh, well, you know, the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament are different." Well, you don't know what you're talking about. You just know that person's ignorant. They're just plain out ignorant when they make a foolish statement like that. You don't even know what you're talking about. You're just saying that out of ignorance, or you're just dumb on purpose, okay? You're willfully ignorant, all right? Which is just you're choosing to not know. That's what it is. So either they know what they're saying and they're just trying to trip you up, or they just don't know and they're ignorant. It's one of the two, because there's no other ground. If you know the Bible, then you know that God is the same. He doesn't change. He never has changed. So if God in the Old Testament is against sodomite marriage, then what is God in the New Testament?
Amen.
He's still against it. People say, Jesus didn't speak on this. Are you sure? You know, he said in the beginning, he created them male and female. You know, that the man should go and marry the woman. I mean, this is how God designed it. Jesus verified that. He backed it up. What was he saying? Bye-bye transgenderism, because Jesus is saying, hey, I created them male and female. That's gone. Gender's not fluid, by the way. You see, when we start to understand the characteristics of God, the attributes, that's the word I was looking for earlier. The attributes of God, which is what these things are, how it deals and touches with the nonsense going on today. When you begin to understand God and who God is, then it's going to touch on our everyday life. He's not some impractical thing that's out there that, you know, people made up just to control people. Because that's what they say, oh, God's just created. You know, the atheists and those of that like and the skeptics, they say, oh, he's that fairy tale you just created that was created to control people. No, he's not. He's the creator of the universe. Where did everything come from? You know, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. If someone's an atheist, they're a fool. God says, you're a fool.
Amen.
Because you are. You got to be brain dead or dumb on purpose to think that there is no God. Nothing creates itself. This microphone didn't create itself. This is not even anywhere near as complex as a human being. Nothing even close to it. The fact that your heart can beat forever and ever and ever for 80 to 100 years, 60 to 100 years, it never stops, it never rests, it keeps going, is proof of a creator. That in and of itself. But no one would ever think this created itself. No one would ever even think that this piece right here created itself. Who's going to think this created itself? Perfect threads to match this other piece. Oh, we just found it after millions and millions of years. That's what it would. Look at how good this, man, I'm telling you. That is some long-winded thread. Look at how, fine, look, and then it's different. It's got brass in there. It's got plastic. It's got steel on this side, a steel screw. This created itself. Yes, I'm telling you, it created itself. There's no creator. This is just after millions and millions, and wait a decade, and I'll say, oh, hundreds of millions and millions, because that wasn't enough time. So I'm just going to keep changing what I think. Look, you're a fool if you believe there's no God. I don't care who you are. You're an absolute fool. The Bible says so. Psalm 14:1, God says it. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. God never starts off defending himself. He just says, in the beginning, God, here I am. Deal with it. That's how he starts off. Because this is just a self-existent fact. There has never been a natural-born atheist. You have to be taught that foolishness.
Amen.
So why do men go into atheism? Well, because men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. They love their sin. They want to keep it. That's why. Period. I don't care what they say. You love your sin. You want to keep your sin. And you realize if there's a creator, then you're accountable to him. Amen. And you don't want to be accountable to him. So you'll invent your own God. They're all idolaters, every single one of them. But that's as foolish as saying something as simple as this. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 parts. This is 5 pieces to it. And nobody in their right mind is going to say this created itself. This made itself. This just evolved. Nobody would say that. That's probably a better way to say it. No thinking person is going to say this evolved. That's why I say you got to be dumb on purpose. If someone seriously came up here and they said, this thing evolved after millions of years, maybe we could get, let's see, they're all about the same, but here, look, this one's the, let me get this one off now. I'm going to show you the mom. This one's got some threads too. It's definitely like its mom. This is the mom. This is the, I don't know, is it a son or daughter? We'll let it decide when it grows up. Okay. And then this one over here, it's a little bit bigger. This is the father. Okay, see that there? I mixed them up now, I don't know. Father, mother, son or daughter. I mean, see, you could see it right there. It evolved. It changed slightly as time went on. Doesn't that just sound foolish? At least make sure it's not going to fall. It sounds foolish, doesn't it? No one would believe that. But we believe something like a human is going to evolve. Brain dead. Some of you may have family members that are atheists. Anybody? Yeah, me too. You know what I say about them? Brain dead. Yes, they're brain dead. You say, that's mean. That's the truth. You're not thinking. You love your sin. You want your sin. You don't like the God of the Bible. That's why you reject it. You think the God of the Bible is a bigot. But when you understand who he is, what he is, he's never changed. He created you. He gets to make the rules. So that's just how that works.
Amen.
A lot of parents understand that. They'll tell their kids, they get mad at them. They're like, I brought you into this world. I'll take you out. Yeah. But God is. He created us. He gets to make the rules. He is I am. That's what Jehovah means. I am that I am. He's the self-existent one that reveals himself. That's who God is. And when we begin to understand his attributes, it's going to touch on every part of our life today. He doesn't change. He's the same as he's always been. Nothing about him has changed. This is who God is, and this is how he created us. He made us in his image. That's why it's wrong to murder somebody. But here's what happens. The devil perverts things. The devil perverts everything that God makes. He perverts gender. He perverts the Bible. He perverts this world. And let me tell you how what I'm speaking of when I say that. In Romans chapter 1, it says they worship and serve the creature more than the creator. That's what I'm talking about. That's Satan. He corrupts it so people worship and serve this creation. What do you think the Green New Deal is about? Well, it's about control. The uppers understand that. The people that are following them don't understand. And they're like, save the earth. I mean, so in my lifetime, we've been supposed to have been annihilated probably 5 times, I think. I mean, how many of you that are my age or older remember when it was the Ice Age was going to kill us all? When I was in school, when I was in elementary, that's what it was. The Ice Age, it's going to get us. Better run. You got to ban hairspray. Just get rid of the hairspray. It's going to kill us all. There's a hole in the ozone. You don't hear about that anymore. And then it went to global warming. Al Gore. We were all supposed to be underwater, at least a great majority of the United States was supposed to be underwater because the polar ice caps were going to melt. I think by 2016 was his deadline. I mean, that was it. So that was the scare. We have to run. And then they realized this global warming thing isn't panning out how they thought. So now it's climate change. It's whatever it is, it's going to change. I mean, Upper Peninsula, Michigan, record snowfall that it's ever had. 300 inches, I think, plus. I mean, it's incredible how much snow they've gotten. And they're used to getting snow, but they've just gotten pounded this year. But it's not global warming anymore, it's climate change. And now the vegetarians, these vegans who are, you know, vegans, I'm telling you right now, you research where that came from, veganism, it's all in false God worship. That's what it all is. It's worshiping of the earth. That's where veganism came from. God doesn't teach that. God does not teach that. The Bible doesn't teach that. But Satan's going to corrupt things. I'm not saying it's wrong to eat vegetables or anything like that. But I'm eating my bacon. I'm going to drink milk. I'm going to eat cheese. I'm going to eat eggs. I mean, I'm not stopping any of that. And look, if someone else doesn't want to eat that stuff, that's fine. Just understand where the roots of it come from. I'm not saying it's wrong. If you want to say, I'm not going to eat that stuff, go for it. I don't have a problem with it. I don't think you're a devil worshiper or anything like that if you do that stuff. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying where the roots of it come from and what they end up doing. Just watch all of them. They're all a bunch of, you know, earth-loving nuts, tree huggers. I mean, they are. Just look at them. Look at the billboards they put up. Talking about, it's not your milk. You shouldn't be able to steal it. Like, why? Because they worship the creation rather than the creator. Because the creator said, you know, here's the earth, subdue it. He told Noah that. Or Noah or Adam, I forget. I think he told them both. But go and subdue the earth. We're over it. God doesn't change. He hasn't changed. We are the ones made in His image. We are made a little lower than the angels. That's what the Bible says. So when we begin to understand who God is, it's going to touch on every aspect of our life. We'll get it. We'll make sense. He doesn't change. Therefore, He's still against sodomite marriage. Yep. It's a perversion. Satan perverted it. He's against transgenderism.
Amen.
He's against cross-dressing. That's where it starts. I'm telling you right now, that is where it starts. What we've got now, confusion about what bathrooms to go to. I don't want my daughter going to a bathroom where some man might be going in there. I don't care if he calls himself Susan.
Right.
I don't want that. You know, all these women are fighting for equality and all this stuff. They want to be equal with men. I'm sorry, it will never happen. You will never be equal with men.
Amen.
And men will never be equal with women because we're not. We're different.
Amen.
We're absolutely different. And now you've got all these transgender men who are entering women's sports events, and they're just dominating. The women don't even stand a chance. Why? Because we're different. They want to say they're the same. Really? I mean, the guy's got a 2-inch Adam's apple. I mean, they're the same? It's not even close. It's not even close. But this is the insanity there. Well, equal rights, Women's Day. What does that mean? That's just feminism? Another corruption from Satan? Girl power, negative. No girl power.
Amen.
You know what women need to be taught? Submission.
Amen.
That's what women need to be taught, not girl power. See, that God of the Bible, He's a chauvinist pig. No, He created you and He understands what you are and what you need to be.
Amen.
That's what it is. Why do you think we're in the mess we are? So when we don't understand this stuff, let's go to Isaiah. I like this. I've read it before, but it's good and it applies to today. Go to Isaiah chapter 3. All right, this is in the context of judgment. Okay, Isaiah chapter 3, verse 11, it says, "Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him." Now look at this in verse 12. "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee, cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy path. The Lord standeth up to plead and standeth to judge the people." Look, He's going to judge the people. "The Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of His people and the princes thereof. For ye have eaten up the vineyards, the spoil of the poor is in your houses," and God's going to judge these people. But look what happens. When God's judgment comes, why does it come? He says, "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them." Women rule over them. Look, go look up the New Mexico legislature and look. It's like half women are in the New Mexico legislature. Look at it. Go look. Look, what's our governor? She's a female. What do we have running for president against Trump? A female. Now, because of Hillary Clinton was able to be the Democrats' candidate to run for president, now look at how many women you have trying to go out. Oh, and by the way, let's not leave off the Republicans, the conservatives, because they've got just as many women in there.
Amen.
What really made it popular? Sarah Palin.
Yep.
And everyone supported her. But what does God say when women rule over people? When women rule a nation, what does God say? It's judgment. It's His judgment. It's not a good thing. See, this women power, girl power, Women's Day. No. That's the wrong thing. Have a Women's Day and teach them submission. Teach them submission to their fathers, submission to their husbands.
Amen.
That's where a girl finds power. Because that's what her Creator created her for. To do that. And look, some of you in your minds right now, you might just be saying, I mean, you all have heard me this before, but you might not like it. But in your mind, you might be saying, oh, man, forget this stuff that pastor's saying. I don't agree with it at all. Well, then give me some Bible for it. Or do you not accept that? Is that not your final authority? You got women trying to teach men all the time. What's wrong with that picture? The most problem I've had as a pastor, whether it's here or whether it's on social media, as I present Bible, the most problems I've had have come from women. And other pastors, I know it's the same thing. They're the ones arguing with them. They're the ones that know better. I like what Charles Spurgeon said. Some lady tried to discourage him from being a pastor. She was a godly lady too, he said. And then he realized, he's like, how do you will never have this call. You'll never know anything like it because God will never call a woman. He said, so I took her advice and I just basically threw it out. Because she's not qualified to tell me. She doesn't understand it. She won't understand it. When we understand God and His characteristics and how He created us, then we'll understand our position and our roles. And we need to understand our roles. If we want God to bless our families, our homes, you need to understand your role. Don't get that thing out of order. I'm telling you right now, don't come to the church and get things out of order either. Don't go to work and get things out of order. God set an order. There's masters and servants, I'm telling you right now. Don't get stuff out of order. See, that's where Satan steps in. God's a God of order. God has a certain order for things. Satan is the author of confusion. He brings in confusion. He corrupts things. What's the Tower of Babel? What does Babel mean? Anybody know? Confusion. What happened at the Tower of Babel? You all help me. That's right. There was a bunch of different languages. There used to be one language on the earth. And then all of a sudden, God says, no, they're all banding together with their unity, with their ecumenicalism. They're all coming together to oppose me. That's what the Tower of Babel was about. It was them shaking their fist in God's face and saying, we dare you try it again. We're not going to listen to you. We're going to do it our way. You're not going to kill us with a flood again. We're doing it our way. That's what it was. And God says, oh, they're banding together against me. He says, I'll break this up real quick. So what does he do? There's the Tower of Babel. And that's why we say, oh, just Babylon, Babylon. And then they go and call it Babylon. Think about, oh, he's just a babbler. He's just babbling on. And there it is, Babylon. Confusion. That's where Satan works. He brings in confusion. That whole thing is satanic because it's false gods. It's bringing in a false god. And that's what was happening there. And there's brought in confusion. That's what takes place. That's what took place there. By the way, as you see the ecumenical movement and governments trying to build a one world government, by the way, who's the god of this world? Satan, right? Okay, so Satan is the god of this world. So what's he working towards again? A one world government, a one world religion that's going to worship who? Go to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14:12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Talking about the angels. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. The mount of the congregation. Look at that. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's what he wants. So what's he doing? Everything's working together. This ecumenicalism. We're just trying to bring it all together. By the way, when you start studying this stuff out, the New Age, Muslims, Catholicism, Protestantism, it all fits together. The New Age movement teaches there's going to be a Christ. They teach a Christ. He's the Antichrist. The Muslims have their Messiah that's going to come or whatever. I forget what they call him. But who's it going to be? The Antichrist. The Jews are waiting for their Messiah. They reject Jesus. Who's it going to be? The Antichrist. I mean, this is what's going on. The New Ages all have their Christ. And when the Antichrist shows up, it's going to bring them all together. There may be some holdouts here and there. There always has been, okay? But I'm talking the majority of the world is just going to be like, just going to be sucked into it. What do you think it is, Chrislam? What do you think you see the Pope just recently? They're kissing, who is it for the Muslims? One of the leaders for the Muslims. I mean, they're coming together. They're bringing it together. Yeah, some imam or whatever it is. I mean, you've got Billy Graham saying that we're all one religion. You're the Pope saying that. The Protestants are all running back to their whore mother. Yep. I'm telling you, that's what's happening.
Amen. Yep.
Where'd the Protestants come from? The Catholic Church. Babylon the Great Whore. I mean, this is it. They're all going back. It's all going to be one. Read about it in Revelation. There's a one world religion, a one world government. They all fit together. They're going to work together. It's confusion. When we understand the attributes of God, it touches on all of this stuff. God says, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. But you've got all this confusion. Claiming to be God. Wait a minute, how can all these different things be God? Well, this is what truth is fluid. Gender fluidity. Okay, because truth is fluid. They have no absolute truth. Except that's an absolute statement. There is no absolute truth. Are you absolutely sure? Because that's what it is. All roads lead to Rome. No, they don't. All of them lead to hell except one.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's a narrow way. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. Take it up with God. I didn't make it. I'm just the messenger. Here, this is what he's laid out for us. This is what's before the world. See, this is why what we're in is, this church isn't a plaything. I wish we could really get past that. It's some club and it's a plaything. This is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry.
Right.
And what we're in is, seriously, we want to talk about, you know, some epic battle. You know, this is life and death right here. Eternal life and eternal death. What we're doing. When we go out and share the gospel, this is eternal. I'm talking some spiritual warfare. It's God's kingdom versus Satan's kingdom.
Amen.
And souls are at stake. I mean, souls are going to spend eternity in hell or eternity with the Lord. That's it. That's what it comes down to. It is serious. This is no joke. And Satan doesn't play games either. At the tune of 3,000 dead children a day, he doesn't play games. He's not messing around. Look at all the sodomites, how hardened they get towards the gospel. As soon as they come out as open sodomites, they hate Christianity. The majority of them I've talked with hate Christianity. They don't know nothing about it. They just hate it. Because why? Because they know the God of true Christianity, they understand, says, no, that is wrong. It's wrong. We don't accept that in one bit.
Amen.
Shame on you if you ever go to some sodomite marriage.
Amen.
Shame on you. I don't care if it's your own child.
Amen.
And my kid end up turning sodomite. I'm like, what are you? That's your choice. I can't make your decisions for you. I mean, I might strangle you a little or something, but I can't make your decisions for you. That was a joke. Partially. All right, I'm just kidding. But I can't make your decisions for you, but guess who's never coming to my house? My child can come, but don't ever bring so-and-so. They aren't coming here. Just like same thing. I'd be the same way if you're shacking up, fornicating. Hey, don't bring so-and-so. You can come. Don't want you here. Get that thing right. That's wickedness. I'm not going to condone it. I'm not going to support it.
Amen.
Period. Christians, we shouldn't support that stuff in any way. Our complacency has gotten us where we're at. Our complacency has given us the world that we have today.
Right.
Christians continually compromise. We give more and more and more. And now when we actually take a Bible stand, now we're called bigots. Whereas before, what we used to believe used to be the norm. Because we were actually being salt and light. Churches actually stood for truth. Churches actually stood on doctrine. But we've capitulated and capitulated and capitulated And now here we are. We're in a real life battle. No joke. And the stakes are high. They're eternal. Paul told Timothy to war a good warfare. Those that get in the battle that war a good warfare don't entangle themselves with the things of this world. They don't get all mixed up in it so that it stops them from really serving him effectively. It's not saying they don't have a part in this life because we're all here. But he's saying they don't get entangled with it. Think about a soldier. What is their main focus? They're focused on the battle at hand. They can't stop and think about the things that are going on here when they're going into the battle. They have to be focused on the battle, and that's how we have to be. This is why it's so much the more we need to be here. So much the more. And if this is the training grounds, I mean, look at this light preaching out there, the sugar-coated preaching that's talked about, you know, 2 Timothy 3 type preaching. They're not going to endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They're going to be turned away from the truth and turned unto fables. That type of stuff. Let me go here where you can tell me what I want to hear. Now, how many of you would think boot camp's going to be like that? I'm going to get just some, you know, soft drill sergeant that's just going to really just love me and encourage me. Even still now, they're still not getting it. Maybe in the Air Force. 6-week boot camp. You kidding me? Anyway, don't even get me started on all that. Let's talk about Marines, okay? All right, let's just look at the Marines then for that. But seriously, you're not going to expect some soft drill sergeant to come in. Why? Because he's preparing you for war. You know what part of boot camp is? They try and soften it up so much. There's women's equality. We're equal with men. Then why don't you meet the same standards the men do? Why don't you meet the same physical standards the men do? Never understood that. You want equality? Well, come on, let's get at it. All my life, I've had jobs that are manual labor. And there's been women in some of the places that have worked there. And they always look to a man to pick up the heavy stuff. And I always will because I'm a man and I'm not going to have a lady do that. But at the same time, I'm like, why are you working here if you can't do the job? Women soldiers cannot do the same thing men can. Run the 2 miles in the same time the men have to. Do as many pull-ups as men have to. Do as many push-ups as men have to. You want to be equal? Come on, let's be equal. Let's do it. You weren't made for it. I can't understand a nation that'll send their women to fight for them. That's just wicked. But here's where we're at. Here's what's going on. This is the equality that we want. So when we understand who God is, His attributes, it touches on every part of life. All right.